Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I also will be reading from 2 Timothy. Chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse number 34. You found it, say amen. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. My servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It's not good enough just to fight and to finish. When it's all said and done, you had better have kept something. Amen. And I will tell you that I really thought this morning that I'd be talking about our pursuit of God and worship and so on and so forth, but very, very strongly in prayer, the Lord really prompted and dealt with me about this particular text. I want to preach to you on the subject. It's one word today. Kept. Kept. Amen. Praise God. I believe the Lord's going to visit with us. He's already here. I enjoyed the tremendous word of the Lord we just heard. Amen. And we thank God for His anointing. Church wouldn't be near as fine without the anointing of the Holy Ghost coming. Praise God. If you're glad you're in the house of the Lord, lift your hands and your voice. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Let's make some noise in this place. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. They brought the young man to King Saul. They had told the king that there's somebody here that has said that they were willing to fight this giant of a man by the name of Goliath. The scripture reveals to us that Saul was a little disheartened when he finally laid eyes on David, because he told him, he said, I'm sorry, I thought they were sending a man to do this, but I recognize that thou art but a youth, and this man that you're going to fight has been a man of war from his youth. I'm sorry, I really can't let you go. It was at that point that David said, sir, before you make your final decision, I'd just like to tell you a little story. I was keeping my father's sheep one day, and a bear and a lion came, whether it was simultaneously or at different times, I'm not sure. But they came, and they took a lamb out of the flock, and he said, I arose and went out after them. The way it reads is, I knocked them down. I delivered the lamb out of their mouth, and then I slew them. He said, and I am convinced this morning that today that this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Amen. This is not something personal, King Saul. He's picked on my God, and he's picking on the people of God. So that gets God involved. And so I am convinced that the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and of the lion shall deliver me this day out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul recognized the hand of the Lord upon David and said, "The Lord be with you." Amen. Go and do as it's in your heart. Amen. I've read that text and preached from it, and everybody here has heard it probably many, many times. A few weeks ago, I got to thinking about the text and got to kind of pondering on it, and I recognized a little something there. I know some men that are pretty tough. At least they think they're tough. Amen. And I have a friend of mine by the name of David Shatwell. He's a hoss of a man. And I told him, I said, "You don't even know your own strength." I've seen him do things, and people like that will get you in trouble because they ain't afraid of nothing. And some of us haven't quite got to that degree of bravery. Amen. And I've known some men that could really prove their strength. Amen. But I don't know too many men that go down to the zoo and jump over the fence into the cage of a lion and decide that we're going to have a wrestling match here today. Amen. I don't know too many people that go up into the forest and hunt down bears and grizzlies to prove their manhood or to prove that they can beat them. Amen. I'm glad when I go to the zoo that there is a great gulf between me and them. Amen. Regardless of how much they tell us that they're tamed, I'm afraid that they might revert back to their old nature. Amen. I'd just soon keep the bars between me and the bears and the lions, and we'll let the zookeeper take care of them and all that stuff. Amen. And so I've looked at David through a little different perspective. Amen. Here is a young man that a bear comes and a lion comes. Amen. And it would have been very easy for David to have said, you know, I don't know about this. This is a bear. This is a lion. And besides that, this is just a little lamb. And lambs are really insignificant. It's not all that important. Matter of fact, come springtime, there'll be some more lambs. And I doubt that just losing one little lamb would have any merit to it. So it would have been easy for David to have just said, it's just a lamb, and just let it go. And Dad won't miss one little lamb, and everything would be fine. I don't think my father would want me to risk my well-being to fight with this bear and this lion. I think that he understands that they have so much strength, and I'm just but a youth. And so I just go ahead and let him have it, and everything will be fine, and we'll go on. Nobody will know the difference. Amen. But I want you to know that David recognized something about his enemy. He recognized that if I give him one today, the next time he gets hungry, he'll be back to get another one. And then the next time he gets hungry, he'll be back to get another one. And then the next time he gets hungry, he'll come pick one or two of them up. And the next thing I know, I'll look around about me and I won't have too many sheep left, and I'll have to give an account to my father. And so I just might as well decide it today, and let's just determine it today. Might as well let the bear and the lion know that it may appear to be something very insignificant, but I'm willing to fight over it because, you see, these don't belong to me. They belong to my dad. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I doubt very seriously that David knew when he was fighting the bear and the lion that that very thing would be the determining factor of whether or not he would step into the arena with the champion. I doubt very seriously that David had pre-notion that what he was about to do here was going to be the thing that he would tell the king. Amen. I doubt that God had spoke to him in a thundering voice and said, "My beloved servant, whom I well please, I want you to go fight the bear and the lion. I'm going to be with you because this will determine whether or not you get to fight Goliath down the road." Amen. I doubt very seriously that anything like that happened. David had no way of knowing that when he was fighting over something that appeared to be very insignificant, that it was the determining factor of whether or not he would get in the ring with the champion. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, amen. I doubt very seriously, amen. Again, it would have been easy for David to have topped out and said, It's just a little lamb. There'll be some more come springtime. It's not all that important. But something in his spirit said, absolutely not. I recognize what's going on here. I'm not giving you one today, and you're not getting one tomorrow. I'm going to keep everything that my Father has entrusted to my care. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, the first thing that you've got to do is you've got to recognize how your enemy works. Jesus said, I've come to give life, but the thief comes to steal, not content just to steal. He wants to kill, not content just to kill. He wants to destroy. He is never satisfied. He never gets enough. So you might as well draw the line in the sand today and make up your mind. I'm not giving you one thing today. And if you come back tomorrow, you'll not get anything then either. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you that, you see, to me, the story is much bigger than just David knocking down this oversized man. See, when David stepped into the valley, he said, is there not a cause? Come on, guys. What are you hiding for? Amen. What are you intimidated about? Don't you recognize that we are the army of the living God? Don't you know that the God that delivered our forefathers and the God that has saved us time and time again, don't you know that we're his people? Why are we afraid? Is there not a cause here today? Why don't somebody get up, go out there and fight him? Hallelujah. I want to tell you today that there is a cause. There was a cause then, and there is a cause today. I'll tell you something else. Amen. I've said this many times. I want to repeat it again. When I read the story of David going into the Valley of Elah, I don't find any intimidation in David. I don't find any fear in David. I don't find David backing up saying, I think I can do it. I hope I can do it. But I see him walking with calm assurance. I see him walking in confidence. I'm fixing to knock you down, boy. And if that doesn't do it, I'll go get your five brothers. Amen. But I want you to know that I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Why is it that David could come into the valley with such confidence? Why is it that nobody else felt that there was a cause? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that David knew in the depth of his heart that on the best day that Goliath had, there was no way that Goliath could kill him. Absolutely not. You couldn't kill me on your best day. If you and your five brothers got together, you still couldn't kill me. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because three chapters prior, there's an old prophet with some oil pouring on his head saying, you're going to be the captain over God's inheritance. You're going to be the king over Israel. You're on your way to the throne. And David recognized, I haven't got to the fulfillment of that prophecy. So Goliath, you're nothing more to me but a stepping stone to national prayer. Preeminent. You're coming down. Woo! Now, I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to fight a man that's got destiny written all over him. You really don't want to get on a table with somebody that's got prophecy riding on them. You really don't want to get in the ring with somebody that's got some fresh oil dripping on them. Amen. Now, maybe you don't have a cause here today, but I've come to tell the Western District, there is a great cause. There is a revival that lays before us. There is a harvest that we've never enjoyed. There is a cause here today. Run if you want to and run if you will. But I'm telling you, we're coming to the Valley of Elah. Woo! Now, David makes the statement. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine. Now, to David, the issue at hand was, we circumcised, you not. We're in covenant relationship with God, you're not. That was the issue. Now, if I read my Bible correct, it lets me know that what circumcision was in the Old Testament, baptism is in the New Testament. You can't even get in covenant relationship with God until you have been baptized in the name of the Lord. I don't care how much you say in covenant rights. I don't care how much you confess. I wish I could get a little more help here this morning. I don't care how much you confess. I don't care how much you pray in your prayer language. I'm telling you that baptism is the determining factor of whether or not you're in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. And so to David, the issue was circumcision. Circumcision. Now, see, David didn't know that for him to defeat this issue was not determined when he stepped into the valley. It was determined in a secret place. It was determined when he was willing to fight over something that people would say is a little less significant. It was when David said, it may just be a little lamb to you, but it belongs to my dad. And whatever belongs to my dad is very important. Now, I've heard people make this statement. I can let this go and this go and that go. But, bless God, I'm going to stand for this Acts 2:38 message. Bless God, I would never compromise my position on the new birth and baptism. I hate to tell you this. That issue was not decided in the valley of Elah. That issue is decided when the enemy comes to something less significant. It is decided when you're in your local church and hell comes walking through there saying, I want you to start taking some things from you. And you go, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I can afford to lose this and I can afford to let that go. After all, it's just a little sheep. After all, there's only one verse in the scripture. After all, there's not much mention about it. I hate to tell you this. Whether there's one verse or 50 verses, it doesn't matter. Truth belongs to your father. That subject is not decided. When hell comes in and says, we're going to take your baptism from you. That subject is decided when you're all by yourself and there's nobody looking. And the bear comes in and he starts taking something. Oh, it's not that important. It's not all that much. It's just a little something. I can afford to lose that. Honey, you better wake up and smell the coffee this morning. If he gets that, he'll be back tomorrow to get something else. But I want to tell you, the faith is like a sheepfold. It has many components. It's not just one little subject or two little subjects. It encompasses many things. And you better wake up and recognize, if I give him a little bit of truth today, he'll be back tomorrow to give him this something else. So I might as well draw the line in the sand right now and let the enemy know, absolutely not. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, Brother Morgan, do you really believe this hair issue is a heaven or hell issue? What do you mean? I thought we decided that a long time ago. Well, you understand, don't you? It's, you know, there's just not a whole lot mentioned in the scripture about it. And, you know, Paul was, I heard this last week. And Paul was really dealing more with culture than anything else. Here we go. I said, oh, isn't that amazing? So that is just pertaining to the Corinthian church. Is that correct? Well, that's the way I see it. Oh, I'm sorry, because I got to read over 1 Corinthians. It says, and let every man that pray Let him pray with his head uncovered. And let every woman that prays, not just the women of the Corinthian church, not just the men of the, but let every man that prays, and let every woman that prays.
Praise God.
I'm telling you, that's where it all starts. It's one of the things that you say, oh, it's just a little lamb. It doesn't matter all that much. Nobody will know whether I trim it or snip it or anything else. I'm telling you, you've already started.
Well, praise God.
Oh, but Brother Morgan, you see, I can let that, but I would never quit preaching Acts 2:38. I want to talk to you about something here today. Jesus gives the parable of the sower, and he talks about the Word of God. And then he goes from the parable of the sower to the fact that he said, there's nothing concerning his word that I want to keep hid from you. There's nothing that I want to keep secret from you. He said, I didn't bring truth and the word into the world to hide it. He said, but I want to manifest it to the world. I want you to see it. And then he makes the statement. He says, but now let me tell you how I operate with my word. To he that hath shall more be given to. And to he that hath not shall what he hath be taken from him and given to another. Now, that's the exact terminology. Now, I got to thinking, now wait a minute. I can comprehend to he that hath shall more be given to. But I'm having a hard time figuring out to he that hath not shall what he hath be taken from him and given to another. Because how can something be taken from you if you don't have anything? So I got to think, I need to figure this out. I need to study this. So I got to do a little study on it and found out that what Jesus was saying is the way I work is I present my word to you. And my word is truth. And when I present it to you, the test of your sincerity is in whether or not when you see truth, whether you reject it or whether you obey it. And if I find you taking truth and holding truth, I'll give you some more. But the moment that I present truth to you and you reject it, you're telling me it's not really that important. Listen to me. So, I'll not only take what I'm revealing to you at that time, but I'll even start taking what I've already shown you. And I'll give it to somebody else. Are you listening to me? It's not a matter of, well, God showed me something. I just don't think all that stuff's this. I don't have to do that. And it's just one little thing over here. No. You done sent a signal to God. You done told God that truth's not that important. You done said, I wish somebody would hear me right now. You done said to God, your words are all that important. I can pick and choose some spiritual buffet. I like that, but I don't like that. I want this. But I don't like the taste of that. I'm telling you, truth has many components. Now listen to me, sir. I'll tell you something. The writer of Hebrews makes this statement. He said, you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you let them slip. One translation says, lest you become a leaking vessel. See, every one of us are a vessel of truth. And these truths are like David's sheepfold. They have been entrusted to us by our Father. And God is saying, don't let it slip away from you. Because if you start letting one thing slip, you're telling me that you are a leaking vessel. And I'm putting precious cargo in something that cannot contain it. I lost half of you. I'll prove to you something here. Watch this. Watch this. If you start studying from the era of the Protestant movement up to the present tense, you're going to find out men like Martin Luther and others, they seen particular truths in Scripture. And they begin to preach those truths. Now, I don't understand all there is to know about some of these people. I do know one thing. If Martin Luther was such a great Christian, I can understand why he killed people that disagreed with him. Justified by faith and all the predestination, all the stuff that he taught and preached and wacko stuff. But the problem is that a lot of people will get a... See, oh, here we go. I hear apostolics say, we have the truth. I hate to take this, but you don't have the truth. I done got your attention now, don't I? You have a truth, but you don't have the truth. Not the fullness of truth. You ain't got it all yet. God hasn't revealed everything there is to know about Him yet. Now, you have truths in certain areas. But to say we have the truth as far as we've got it all, I hate to tell you this, but that's the problem with a lot of people. They get a little bit of truth and then they say, I've got everything. I talked in tongues 29 years ago, got baptized in Jesus' name. I got it all. No, you ain't got it all yet. What happens is these men were presented with a segment of truth. And when it was presented to them, they embraced part of it. But when other truth started coming to them, and if you watch all of these denominations, they don't even believe what their forefathers founded them on. Stay with me just a second. Now hang on just a second. If you trace all of this out, you're going to find that coming out of each of these movements were people and men that said, okay, thank God for what He just showed us. But there's more that He's revealing to us. We're not just going to settle for this, but we're going to go further. We're going to continue to let God reveal His Word to us. And it progressively keeps coming until you get into the latter part of the 1800s, and it evolves to something called the Holiness Movement. Coming out of the Holiness Movement around the turn of the century is what we call the Pentecostal Movement. Coming out of the Holiness Movement are people that got to reading the Scripture and they got to saying, my God, people talked in tongues when they got the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. And so they got to praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost like they experienced in the book of Acts. And so here they come. There was a lot of people out of the Holiness Movement that said, no. We ain't going there. We don't believe that. And the moment that they sent the signal to God, we will not accept any more truth. They not have just lost what God was revealing to them. They started losing what they already had. Then coming out of the Pentecostal movement was a group of people that said, hey, wait a minute. Now that we've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we got to read in the Scripture, and we found out nowhere in the book of Acts was anybody ever baptized in the triune theory. They called it new light. They warned them and said, stay away from that. Leave that stuff alone. We need to adhere to the orthodox teaching of the church that there is a Trinity and baptism is in the triune theory. But there were others that said, absolutely not. You can't find that in the Scripture. Everybody that was baptized in the Bible, in the New Testament church, were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still here? I want you to notice that those men that received that revelation, they did not forsake the baptism of the Holy Ghost teaching. They did not forsake the teachings of the Holiness Movement. They just kept adding a little more to the sheepfold. They just kept having a few more lambs because they understood it's not enough just to have what my daddy first gave me. He expects an increase. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so now we come to the split. When 140 or 60 some of them said, we ain't staying in this. We're going to teach one Lord. We're going to teach one faith. And we're going to teach one baptism. Little did the Assemblies of God know at that moment, they were sealing their own doom. Little did they know that by the year 2000, that less than 20% of them would be tongue talkers. Little did they know that when they sent the signal, we refused to accept the truth of water baptism and the oneness of the Godhead. That they were telling God, we not only don't want to lose what we have being presented to us, but we're willing to lose everything that you've given us before. They no longer have any holiness. They don't believe that the Holy Ghost is essential, and they sure don't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. But coming out of all of that is the true church of Jesus Christ. People who say, hey, it's more than just a little lamb to us. It's something we're willing to fight over. Woo! Still here? Now. I'm going to tell you something. I get a little scared when I hear these men say, I'm not going to preach that no more. I'm not going to believe that no more. But I'm not going to lose Acts 2:38. It don't work that way. I've not known any of them that once they started letting the little lambs go, ever defeated Goliath. But I'm just getting where I need to go now. And so Goliath says, send me somebody to fight. Bunch of puny little one God folks. You're who you say you are. Where is your revival? Y'all been preaching that end time revival stuff for years. Where in the world are y'all at? Who even knows you're in town? You need to drive by our buildings and see how big they are. I'm fixing to preach my shoes off. Poor little bunch. Over there fighting, over there defending those few little sheep. My God, that smelly sheep fold. I'm out here knocking everything down in my path. And where are you at? Your daddy's got you trapped on the backside of a Judean hill, tending sheep. And you're willing to fight over little things that are insignificant and not all that important. You just keep running your mouth off, buddy. You just keep making your brags. I'm fixing to preach some belief out of this building today. You just keep saying all that trash talking. Brother, something's fixing to happen to you. Don't give you a headache. Tylenol can't take away. I promise you that. And what others are saying, well, you know what? We could reach them a whole lot more effectively if we just let go of a few of these sheep and all this stuff. I got news for you. While we're over here fighting over something very insignificant, what's really going on is our daddy said, I just want to see if you got the goods. I just want to know if you're willing to fight over something less before I give you something big to fight. And we drive by their buildings. Some of you just trying to get a few dollars. Some of you just hope you can go home and pay your utility bills in your church, and you drive by them big old buildings. And Goliath says, oh my God. And you hear about their auditoriums being packed out with thousands of folks being loosed. You'll catch on here in a second. And, you know, you folks got some pretty good preachers. And you got some great talent. But you folks are just going to have to quit getting so dogmatic over them little lambs. Just keep talking, bad boy. You just keep running your mouth off. You just keep making your brags. Look can do if you just put fight over them little lambs. We'll take all of your rejects. We'll elevate them. We'll show you what we can do with somebody that's an old oneness folk that decided them little lambs ain't worth fighting over, brother. There's a bigger arena and I'm going to it. So just let the sheep go. Just let the bear take them. Just let the bear take these little truths that we think's not all that important. Just let him take them and it doesn't matter. You people quit being so dogmatic over your separation and your holiness and all that stuff that you preach. More, if we could just get old Nate Wilson. We could just get him. He's so brilliant. Man, we could fill auditoriums and we could, you just quit fighting over those little sheep. Now listen to me. I'm going to say something here. I felt to say this in prayer, and I'm going to say it right here. I have no axes to grind. I'm just going to tell you. If some of you men don't get a hold of these young men and help them, I don't want to hear you complaining when they leave the truth. Hello? Hello? Because I'm going to tell you what the charismatic world's telling them. Them sheep aren't all that important. Boy, if we could just have you. If we could just take your talent. If we could just take your abilities. Brother, we could parade you around the world. And I'm going to preach what I feel in the Holy Ghost anyhow. Amen, amen, amen. Brother, if you just let go of those sheep, we could put money in your pocket. You wouldn't have to preach to some of those tight UPC churches that talk through their nose to save wear and tear on their false teeth. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. I don't know what I am. I don't know whether I'm pastor, prophet, apostle, evangelist, or teacher. But I am going to tell you this. I'm going to speak for every evangelist that I know. We are not second-rate, cheap citizens of the United Pentecostal Church. You hear me? And I got news for you. So far, the only office the UPC's ever recognized is the office of a pastor. I hate to tell you, but there's four of us in there just as important. And you successfully cannot perfect your church without the operation of the fivefold ministry. And could I make a plea with you? Quit taking all the money and buying toys with it. Why don't you pay an evangelist like he needs to be paid? Is that okay? Well, you'll never come preach for me. You're preaching for money. I got news for you. Whether you pay me or you don't pay me, God's going to take care of me. God promised me that. It's already happened. Don't need your money. But I tell you what does bother me is when I pull up and you want to show me all your toys and you pull up and pick me up on a brand new Mercedes and you take me to your homes and you show me all the stuff you got and then you hand me a $300 check and say, I wish I could do more for you. I'll tell you something, sir. You're going to stand in judgment and answer for every dollar that God put in your hands. And how can you look a missionary in the face when he becomes a Pentecostal prostitute begging to get to his mission field and you're blowing money like you're blowing? Somebody needs to say this tonight. I'm not packing up and I'm not intimidated. And did you wonder why the charismatics have such an allurement to our young men? Woo! Well, you loved me yesterday, you probably hate me today. I'm telling you the truth anyhow. I'm telling you, you better get an interest. You better look around through this camp and find you a young preacher and say, you know what? I need to take a little time. I need to be willing to tell you that these sheep are worth fighting over. Let me tell every young preacher, don't back up, don't compromise, don't lose your integrity. It's not worth it. And if you don't help them, somebody will. Somebody will. And I'm kind of in between somewhere. I'm not young enough to be a young preacher, not old enough to be an elder. But I am making a plea to both sides. I'm asking every elder in this place, don't get so busy that you forget there's young men looking to you and needing your help. And I'm telling every young preacher, don't get so impatient that you think nobody cares and the world lies to you and that charismatic arena tricks you into saying, just leave them little sheep. I got news for you. Whether you think it's important or not, it belongs to the dad. It's not yours to decide. And you're proving your integrity when you're willing to stand flat-footed and say, I'm not compromising on that. I'm not passing up. We preached this for years and we're not giving it up. Now, what are y'all folks doing down at that camp meeting? Fighting over a few little lambs? Can't y'all have one meeting without preaching the holiness? After all, God looks at the heart. Man, it's the outward appearance. That's the most stupid argument I've heard in my life. That proves how retarded some people are. Because you know what that tells me? Darren Sargent, I can't see your heart as a man. Only God can. So the only thing that I can see and detect is what's on the outside. You're exactly right. God does look at the heart. Man, looks at the outward appearance. So that ought to tell you that there will be something about the outward appearance to detect what's in the heart. Don't that make sense? I got to hurt you. No. I'm so sick of that bragging giant. It doesn't matter how you baptize. I mean, after all, if you wonder, folks are correct in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. When I say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'm basically saying the same thing you are. Isn't that correct? And you know, I found out about some people, it's kind of like the old boys that wanted the daughters of, who was it, Jacob? They're willing to be circumcised to get anything they want. But that which is not a faith is sin. And it's not a matter of just experiencing something. You've got to believe in what you're experiencing. Well, where are y'all at? What are y'all doing? Getting ready. We're getting ready. We're tending sheep. We're practicing with a slingshot. We're fighting over a few little sheep over here. We're knocking down bears and lions. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to give you a bad headache. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to have an apostolic revival. That's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to see the power of God unleashed in the church like we've never seen before. That's what we're getting ready to do. Brother, I got news for you. God is about to bring us out of obscurity. He's about to put us on the front stage. He's about to let the whole world know, I still got a one God, Jesus name, tongue-talking, separated church. Now, let me tell you the ones that are going to have the kind of revival I'm talking about. Now, listen, please listen to me. Now, I've been raised in Pentecost. And I've heard the arguments on whether we should pray one or two through at a time or one or 2,000 through at a time. And I've heard both sides, pros and cons. But I got reading the other day in Scripture where Jesus stepped on Simon Peter's boat. He said, launch out to the deep and put down your nets for a drop. First thing in there, Jesus said, let down your nets, plural. Plural. And Simon Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all the night, taking nothing. And we preached for years the great obedience of Simon Peter. That ain't what that means. Well, he said, but nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the
net. Singular. What Simon's saying is, look, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. We catch fish at night. We was out there all night. Why would I unravel all these nets that I cleaned and put up to catch nothing? But I and all of a sudden he heard it snap. Oh my God, the net's breaking. Isn't it amazing? With one net, Simon filled his boat, John's boat, and I think James's boat. One net. The first net started sinking his boat. I just want to ask you a question. How many boats could he have filled if he would have threw out nets? But you see, he let his past regulate his future. Oh, brother, I've tried that. I've tried to have revival. Nothing happens. I come up with empty nets. So why should I believe it's going to be any different this time? I'll tell you why. Somebody's on board. And timing is everything. And what you've been doing in your power and by your efforts is a little different when he climbs on board and says, okay, little fishes in the sea, let's all come together. Because I got a preacher fishing to throw out a net. And I'm going to prove to him, it doesn't matter how many empty nets you got in your past. When I tell you to throw out your nets, you better grab every one you got and go borrow of you and throw them out. And I'm telling the apostolic church, I don't care how many empty nets we've had. He's on board and timing is everything. You better grab every net you can get a hold of. See, I'm preaching to somebody right now, the devil's saying, you're not going to have that kind of revival. You've been to those meetings and they got you all hyped up and you went home and you started your evangelism and start all that stuff, and all you got is a bunch of empty nets. Don't listen to that preacher. He's just trying to get you all hyped up. You're going to go home, get your people all involved, and nothing's going to happen. See, Simon got to looking at all those fish in his boat, and he turned and said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." You know why he said that? Because he didn't believe he's going to catch anything. And now he's got a boat full of fish. See, some of you want to fish with a Zepco 202. You want to do selective fishing. See, you have to use certain bait to catch certain things. Well, we only want this kind in our church. We want godly folks to pray through an altar, because God forbid we'd have some visiting preacher come through and see somebody in our congregation that look like they don't have any holiness. It might destroy my reputation, my brother. They might think I've compromised. I got news for you. They're going to talk about you regardless of what you do, so you might as well forget what they say and what they think anyhow. Why don't you go throw that old Zepco 202 in the garbage and go get you a bunch of nets and let God do the sorting? So Simon's, I'm just telling you what I see. Simon's looking at all these fish. Not just a few he caught on his little rod and reel. He's looking at all these fish in his boat. He said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Jesus said, "Simon, from henceforth shalt thou catch men." And the only thing that Simon had to gauge how to catch men was the net and all the little fishes in his boat. And so we've been doing our little Zepco fishing. Well, I'd just rather pray one through and keep them. maybe I'm wrong, and I'll probably be corrected. I'd go to pray as many through as I could and give everybody a chance. Because I tell you this, listen to me, some of the ones I thought would, didn't. And some of the ones I thought wouldn't, did. That's how, well, you're trying to sort through the fish. Keep this one, get rid of this one. I don't like that one because that one twisted something I said the other day. I don't like this one because it ain't lined up just yet. No, here, let's get these fish out of the boat. I got news for you, Jesus said. You better leave the fish alone, buddy. When that net goes out, it brings in all... Oh, I done messed with some of you now. See, when I'm preaching, tears away your excuse for your little line fishing. Oh, we don't want that one. Throw him back in. Better be careful who you throw back in. You might throw an Apostle Paul back in. I tell you what I like to see. I tell you what I like to see. I like to see altars full of people. I like to see them talking in tongues for the first time all over the building. I like to see where the Holy Ghost is going. And brother, they can't help it. It just starts happening. And something gets on. Now you go ahead and practice the sin assignment. And you be the one to try to buy and determine who gets it and who doesn't. That was the sin assignment. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on it. That was the sin assignment. Acts chapter 8. He said, let me buy this that I can determine who I lay my hands on, who gets it, who doesn't. And I'm telling you, the sin assignment is still the church, but we want to decide who gets it, who doesn't. I got news for you. The gospel is to everybody. Black, white, red, pink, green, yellow, rich, poor, in, up, down, out. I don't care how you look at it. Drug addict, whoremonger, alcoholic, attorney, doctor, lawyer, banker, it doesn't matter. The gospel is to everybody. Just go out the net. Now let me close. Something is getting ready to happen. Brother Wilson, while the world has said, you crazy folks, over there in them smelly sheep, we've been getting ready for something. I'm going to tell you, the ones who's going to knock Goliath down are the ones who are willing to fight over something that appeared to be very insignificant to many. And God will say, you, I need you to take some cheese and crackers to your brother. You. I know you don't have the right last name. I know your daddy's not a preacher. I know you come out of the world. But I've been watching you in that prayer room. I've been watching you with hell come in and said, let me have your joy. You said, you ain't getting my joy. I watched you, Brother Young, when the devil tried to get your passion. And you said, because if I give you my passion today, you'll come get my burden tomorrow. I ain't giving you one thing. Isn't that how it works? Isn't that how it works? Oh, preacher, I'd never backslide. God forbid. He'd never get my salvation. Well, I'll tell you how it starts. It starts with, you know, honey, I'm a little tired tonight. It's just a Wednesday night Bible study. I don't think the pastor would really care if we're gone. It's just a little lamb. Oh, come on, honey. I know it's the weekend and they called a special prayer meeting for revival. But, you know, I only have my weekends off. And it's just one little prayer meeting. And it's just one little devotion. It's just one little lamb. I got news for you. The devil, when he sees, oh, you gave me one today, I think I'll come back tomorrow and see if I can get another. And the next thing you know, you're not praying at all. And then he comes back and gets something else. He takes your prayer life. He takes your praise. He takes your burden. He takes your joy. And then all of a sudden you wake up and say, my God, ain't got nothing left. You might as well make up your mind today and tell me, I'm not giving you my joy. I'm not giving you my peace. I'm not giving you my righteousness. I'm not giving you my burden. I'm not giving you my holiness. I'm not giving you my prayer life. You're not going to get it. My dad entrusted those things to me. And so God watches you in the prayer room. And he watches you in private. And he watches you fight over those little things. And he says, keep fighting. Keep slaying it. Because I got a great big job for you to do. I'm fixing to teach that nasty Trinitarian charismatic spirit a lesson before I rapture my church out of here. You may tell where some of you are at. Some of you have been tending sheep. But somewhere in the course of a prayer meeting, you felt that oil start dripping on your head. And God started making you some promises. I think it's to do a work in your life. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I think it's to anoint you to do a specific job. And the devil's lying to you, telling you, all you're going to do is keep these nasty little sheep. Let's get some settled, devil. First of all, they be mean nasty to you. But they're not to me and my dad. They're very important. I got something riding on me now. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I feel that oil on me. I still hear the promise of God. He talked to us. I still hear the prophecy. I don't know how or when, but I do know one thing. I'm getting ready. I'm preparing myself because my day is going to come. Listen to me. Call me egotistical. Call me whatever you want. Call me. It's fine. But see, long as the devil makes us feel like we're nothing but a bunch of smelly shepherd boys. Somewhere before this day session is over, I'm going to talk to you about the change in your mind. There's a moment in time that you have to determine. I'm going on to meet my destiny. I've been preparing for this. And the biggest battle you're going to fight, number one, is your feeling of insignificance, and number two, your brethren. Because your brethren are going to say, oh, we know your heart. You're arrogant. You're haughty. Go on back to them. Who'd you leave the sheep with anyhow? Oh, well, there's some things I've already apprehended. I'm not going to lose the sheep. But I've yet to apprehend what I've been apprehended for. I will tell you something right now. The biggest curse I see among the apostolics is going little ways and just stopping. Finish through, got it all. And the Holy Ghost is saying, he's talking to the Western District right now. He's talking to us very specific and very clearly. I've been preparing you. I've been getting you ready. I'm fixing to move you from the smelly sheepfold to knocking down a giant. And so all those little things that the world said aren't that important, you see, to me, they are important. And because you're willing to fight over them and for them, you're the people that I'm going to use. mouth of the Holy Ghost here right now. Get your head up. Get your faith up. Get your spirit up. Something's in the making right now. Something's happening in the spirit right now. Let's talk to the Lord here just a moment. Lift your voice. Come on. With fervency, lift your voice right now. I know I've asked you, hold on just a second, please listen to me. Please listen to me. There is something that I felt like the Holy Ghost wanted me to say to somebody here today. I don't know who. I really don't. Then I will tell you this. Prayer this morning, the Lord kept dealing with me about a pastor in this place. And there is a young preacher beneath you and under you. And the bear and the lion has come. It's dragging him off and it's devouring him. And in your spirit you said, well, there's nothing I can do. He's just a lamb. I am begging you today. Don't let him have that young man. I don't care if there's not enough even that you think to make up anything, that he's destroyed it. I'm asking you in the Holy Ghost today to go slay that bear and that lion and rescue that young man. Tell the enemy, I'm not going to give him to you. I'm just not going to give him to you. Know who you are? Don't know who the young man is, but I'm asking you to do it. Don't give up that little lamb. He may not appear to be that important to you anymore, but I'm telling you, to his father, he's very important. He's very important. I wonder how many folks here would take spiritual inventory right now. Listen to me. I want you to take spiritual inventory right now. I want you to look through all the things. I want you to look through your faith. And I want you to start looking through there and see if there's anything missing today. If there's anything missing, I want you to boldly march into the enemy's camp and take it back. Can I tell you this? I don't want to be mystical or spooky, but I will tell you one thing. I refuse to let the charismatics have the gifts of the Spirit and the fivefold ministry and the operation of the Spirit. That belongs to my Father. That belongs to the church. And I don't think we should be intimidated of neither. There are some things that the apostolic church needs to go get and bring back. The name of the Lord. Come on, just take inventory right now. I don't care what it is. Just take a little inventory here. Has he took your praise? Has he took your joy, your worship, your burden, your compassion? Take a little inventory here. Talk to everybody here. Take a little inventory. Has he taken your response to the Word of God? Does it take something sensational to get you to respond? Has he taken the simplicity of things from you? Now, I want you to do me a favor. If there is anything you see in your life that he's taken, don't treat it insignificant. Don't act like it's nothing big. I want you to go get it today. If there's one thing, step out. Come to the front. Come on. I don't care what it is. If there's one thing that you know, I've lost. I want you to go get it. Because when you stand before him, you need to be able to say, I fought, I finished, and beyond that, I kept the faith. Shandorehela hakatalabaha. I'm going to tell some preacher here today, God tried to give you an apostolic ministry and you let what others said about it take it from you. You need to quit basing your ministry on the opinion of others and go get what God's given you. It's very important to your Father. He anointed you with that so you could do a specific work in the end time. Come on, when you get here, I want you to lift your voice and your hands and I want you to start talking to the Lord. Move in just as close as you can get. Spill all the way across the front over to the sides. Come on, I want you to pray again in Holy Ghost authority today. Pray again in tongues and tell the devil, loose it and let it go. It's mine, 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 it's mine. It belongs to me and my dad, it's mine. My dad gave this to me and I'm not giving it to you.
On the open door, here's a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit call. The door for the Lord.